Welcome to the Easy Yoga Podcast with myself, Gemma Neese, Easy Yoga founder, author, yoga coach, and relationship coach. It is my pleasure to have you here and for you to feel energized, calm, happy, and for you to have the perfect relationship with yourself, your partner, and your family without seeing a family therapist, changing your personality, or leaving your job. You will learn techniques and things to help you guide you through a better life through health, meditation, yoga, journaling, nutrition, and all things yoga, for you to have the life you deserve and crave, and for you to love yourself on a soul level. Thank you so, so much for being here today, and I am so grateful and so full of love to have you here. Enjoy this next episode. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode from Easy Yoga, all things relationships, yoga and well-being. And I have Rich Morley back on the podcast. Yay, so exciting. His last episode was in November, I think, 22 last year. If you wanted to go back, it was episode 94. So yeah, go and check it out. We discussed Rich's journey and Tai Chi. And he became ill with fibromyalgia at 16 and his life was ruined by illness for the next 15 years until he found Tai Chi. And at 30, he was medically retired from work and living on sickness benefits when he discovered authentic Tai Chi and also studying Qigong and meditation to complement his training. So welcome, thank you for coming back.
Well, hi Gemma, thanks for having me back.
That's right, I'm excited.
It's nice to be popular.
You are.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's good to be back. I've progressed on since last time we talked. It's been quite an interesting journey for me. So last time we were talking about my training and how I'd fixed myself and all the other things. And pretty much by that time, I'd got to the top of my game, which is quite amazing, really. You know, I only wanted to get well. I didn't want to become a world-class martial artist and all the other stuff that came with it, but I did. But So I thought I was there, and you can always progress in Tai Chi, and I was always progressing and stuff like that. And it was quite, you know, it was quite amazing because I went from being a completely crippled to like getting better, winning all the competitions, beating all the international champions, eventually beating my own teacher just for fun. I didn't even come into me. So I really, and I'd got into the best lineage in the world to some greater degree. And then a friend of mine got in touch with me. And from Australia, who I hadn't talked to for some years, and he had access to even deeper secrets than I'd had available to me. So one of them, it cost a house for a 4-minute routine. It cost some people a house in China back in the 1920s, and it was a big house for servants and all the like to fit in as well. Yeah, because in China, like after the revolution, people didn't want Tai Chi masters for elite martial arts skills and stuff. And the royal family didn't need them to train their bodyguards anymore. But because Tai Chi masters live 3 times longer than everyone else, well, 3 times as long. The average age of death was 26 in China back in those days. And Tai Chi masters were in their 80s even then, you know, 80s and 90s, but full of vibrancy, health and power. So people started paying for that information. So the stuff I got hold of, my friend, it's one of those really good stories. It's like he's traveled the world paying like lots of money to do all the credible masters he could find. And then he was in Taipei practicing in a park one day and some old Chinese guy rocked up and went, "Hey, that's very good, but we'd like me to save you 30 years of training." And he met Master Lai, and Master Lai, his family, I do Yang style Tai Chi, and his family had been friends with the sons of the founder of it. And they were, yeah, so they were a warlord family, and so they had a lot of money and power in China at that time. So they're the people who paid the house and all of the other things to the family to get the true secrets for health and safety, because they were all too rich, and even with bodyguards, you need to be wary in those circles, and also for the super health and vitality and energy you get throughout your life. So Master Lai taught him for a few years, and he gave him the real secrets that family kept right in and inside. So I was really impressed by learning all this, and he invited me to come. He was in Australia, and he invited me to come to Paris to meet up with him.
Oh wow!
A few months ago, he's a great guy and a friend, but I'd only met him on the internet. So we were going to hang out and have some fun, of course. But his main mission was to kill me with his training. So I thought my Tai Chi training was hard until the stuff he taught me. But the thing was, because he really needed to pass this information on to me, he didn't really care where he taught me. He was trying to teach me the side of a road and stuff. I'm like, no, come on, not sucking up his scabbard. So we ended up because we were staying near a business district, we ended up going and standing under that grand arch they've got. So I was training under that. I'm doing this crazy training. It was funny. My body's vibrating with the energy. I got to a different level of energy. My body's actually vibrating. You can see all the different tremors going through it and stuff.
Wow.
In front of about 10,000 tourists standing under a national monument.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Yeah, but anyway, but I got the training, and I've been doing some stuff with him since then. And quite frankly, it's made my training 10 times as hard.
Oh, I bet it has.
It's also ramped my skill level up ridiculously. So I came back, and I had a boxing coach come to see me, and I've been training for a few months in all of this new stuff. And I understood what my power levels were. You know, because you might have seen those videos where I throw people around one finger and make them fly and all the other stuff. But he asked me to demonstrate on him, and I just did it from not moving and standing while he was touching my hands. And he's a sturdy guy, he's very muscly and stuff. And I gave him enough power to just move him a couple of feet safely. But he flew 10 feet across the room, fell on his back, hit the wall.
Oh my gosh.
Because my power output had gone up so much. I'm like, oh no. God killed him.
It is incredible how the mind, the body can focus so much on doing something like that, and then you not even know your power, your magical power. That's incredible.
Yes, it is. It's gone up ridiculously. I keep finding examples of it. So Paul Davidson, who's a really cool coach, but he is so big. He's so muscly.
Yeah.
It's like standing next to Incredible Hulk. His muscles are it's huge. But I went to Liz Basin's Christmas party. Paul was there, and he's really fascinated with Tai Chi. And he's like, can you show me? So it'd been a big party, and I only had 3 hours sleep, and I'm a bit wary of demoing on people over that. But I'm like, we'll do a few things safely. So I freaked him out. In fact, you see this remote control, it's Tichy remote control, something slightly tinier than that. I held it between the thumb and index finger in my left hand while standing in a neutral posture and didn't move, and he held it in his hand, and I moved this giant of a man. I sent him out through the remote control without moving.
Wow.
Yeah, and then to top it all, I did a thing where I can make my hand feel like the floor to him. And then I jumped up and down so you could see it wasn't moving, and I wasn't standing by my hand, so I was just hopping up and down while my hand was in space, while the Incredible Hulk pushed on it and couldn't move it anywhere.
That's so you can incredible. See how it's,
that's what he thought.
Like your power from when last time we spoke to now, has just amazing.
I know, it's crazy. So so I'm going down next, at the end, and I'm going to the Lake District next week. So that's going to be cool. But then I come back, get a day at home, and then I'm going to meet my friend Joey, who's come over to this country now.
Oh, wow.
And he's here for me 4 days. I'm going to Hemel Hempstead to do some more training.
Wow.
Yeah, at least I won't be in front of all those crowds now.
You'll be in the front of the Hemel Hempstead house. I can't remember what that's called, where they film so many things.
All right, excellent. I've never been, so that's something.
Oh, that's amazing. And do you feel better in yourself, even though you started it years ago, but now you feel so different, like you've evolved again into someone else?
Yes, certainly. There's no cap on Tai Chi ability.
Yeah.
And it keeps going throughout your life. It's like Master Yang Lu Chan, the founder of Yang Sao Tai Chi, who died in about 1870, said. He said there are 13 levels to Tai Chi, and he was at number level 9, and he invented it.
Wow. How's he know there's 13 then?
don't ask me, because he'd been taught by a Taoist. What it was a wandering Taoist rocked up in Chen Village in about 1830 and taught all the a rich merchant, he let him stay with him. So he taught him the Tai Chi energetics for the health and martial power. But then Yang Lu Chan somehow got to learn from him and created a full system based around this.
Wow. And that's
Yes, even he said he wasn't at it. So yeah, you can evolve constantly. Yeah, well, for instance, like, you know, the other week I got my mountain bike and I hadn't had it for a couple of months. I'd been out on it. It was broken in many ways and I couldn't get around to fixing it. And I usually mountain bike every day. Anyway, I did 3 hours of this incredible, grueling Tai Chi, like climbing up Mount Everest, but with a really 10 ton of bricks in your rucksack, training for 3 hours. And then I went out for a 4-hour off-road mountain bike trip.
Nice.
That's how I feel.
That is so good. And it's just so different, like from where you were with your
fibromyalgia, yes.
Compared to now, you probably radiate so much more positive energy from where you were like all those years ago, which is mad. Yeah. Because you felt incredible.
Completely. It rebuilt my body and rebuilt me as a better human being. That's the thing about it. Martial skills are they're amazing because the highest level, and it's like, you know, stuff you see in the movies and stuff. You know, it's the development, character development as a person, as a human, and the health, and it's a spiritual practice also. So it involves the entire person if you let it. Yeah. So that's the thing. I just wanted to get well. I never thought it'd take me on this journey. But like the cool thing is, you know, where I'm at now, because I started stripping some of the secrets out and teaching people. Yes, you know, I've helped a variety of people, but I've just a couple of really cool ones is I've just a guy called Michael Griffiths. Michael's like 33, I think, now, and he had a stroke in 2020.
Wow.
He's got a couple of young kids.
Wow.
Trying to run a business and stuff. And I'd heard he'd had a stroke. So I got in touch with him. And we did a call, and he was a bit dubious, but he gave it a whirl, you know. But like his speech was very off, and he was slumping in his chair, and it turned out he's like had to travel around his house on crutches, kept falling over. So he was I talked to him the other week about this, and like he told me when I met him, he was at 20% of his former self. His entire right side was fucked. It's like numb, me and nothing just about. And the doctors told him he's going to be like that for the rest of his life and he had to get used to it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's living with this shit.
That's awful.
Started training with me. And just a bit at a time, I was repatterning his movement so he wouldn't fall and teaching him to be stable in all directions. And then to, because I ran that world, the UK's first Tai Chi for stroke rehabilitation study. But I was stuck in what I'd proposed when we did it for the NHS. When I built out the course with Huddersfield University, we couldn't change it.
Okay.
But I knew I could have done so much more for them. But my people and my, because we had, you know, the control group, they fell, had low mood, depression and stuff. No one fell. Everyone did, you know, we're naturally going to be depressed, but no one was as bad. So we did twice as well on that study. So working with Michael and giving him this shit to do, he just improved and improved. So they got in touch with me just a few months ago, and he said he'd been watching his bike rusting away outside. He used to love riding his bike, but he'd not been able to ride it for 3 years. Yeah. And he'd gone out and ridden his bike for the first time since he'd had his stroke.
Wow.
Yes. So he did me a lovely testimonial standing up going, look, you wouldn't understand what this was. And he's done me another one, which is shorter recently because it looks even better. Anyway, I asked him where he was at now compared to where he was, which was 20% when I met him and not with no prognosis of getting better. He's at 90% of his former self.
Wow, that's incredible. Yes.
Yeah, not, you know, he's like thanking me. He called me a wizard, genius, and various other shit. Just see my magic, what I do. But yeah, so I've given him his life back. in his business, he can be my partner, can be a full the dad to his children, a full family run and stuff. So that was wonderful.
That's so good. And it really frustrates me that, well, so many of my friends are on antidepressants and I'm like, no, go and do something holistic. It is so amazing. But then they're thinking, no, because the doctors have told me this and I need to be on all this medication. No, of course they're going to do that. It's pharmaceutical money.
Of course it is. And that's the thing. The doctors are rewarded for promulgating this stuff out into the masses.
Oh, yeah.
The big pharma want people to live longer and iller.
Yeah.
Give them more money and deal with the side effects of our illnesses. A lot of there's some really interesting research coming out about gut health now and about microbiome, that so much so that a lot of the depression and stuff, because we don't really know what's going on with serotonin and stuff, and some of these serotonin uptake blockers and stuff, just because they do something we don't really understand. Oh, that does this, brilliant, you know.
Yeah.
It's like one of the fibromyalgia drugs they give out. It was an anti-epileptic drug, and one was for people that had strokes. Wow. Well, they can keep selling them if they can if the patent runs out on it, they repurpose it and come up with another illness, then it can keep it another 70 years.
That's awful.
That's fucking shit, isn't it? So anyway, really good research saying that, for instance, a lady who was somewhat morbidly obese and then had schizophrenia for 50 years, within 12 months, was off all medication, was living normally again for the next 15 years till she died.
Wow.
And she lost 120 pounds.
That's all.
So people really should start to look more at the causes of depression, and some of it might be with this and the negative activities in their gut.
Yeah. Yeah.
People should try many, many. I mean, you know, I suffer terribly from depression, but all they could do was give me some crap.
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything. And then when I thought they'd give me a cure for my illness, when they finally diagnosed it after 6 years, they gave me some different antidepressants and some heavy painkillers, because they told me the painkillers would work better if I took the antidepressants.
Really?
crikey, oh blimey, it's crazy, isn't it?
It is. Yes, people, it's so crazy.
Yeah, so there's a million and one things people can be doing for themselves. But unfortunately, we live in a culture now where people expect to push a button and get something, or have something handed to them, and hand their life and their health over to someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I wrote a post about that, which breaks down to essentially, if you don't look after your health now, someone else is going to have to look after your health in the future.
Yes, yes. That's so true, definitely. Now we are going to go to a short break. See you the other side. Hey, hey! I am so excited to tell you about Zen Core Yoga. I am an ambassador for this amazing yoga clothing company, and they want to spread the benefits of yoga, because those who stick with regular yoga practice report themselves to be happier and healthier in life, like me, of course. And Zen Yoga is a Swedish clothing company that designs products for the yoga lifestyle. The company was founded in 2017 and has since then grown to over 70,000 loyal followers all over the world. And these yoga products are absolutely incredible. They are so soft. They have beautiful leggings, beautiful colors, beautiful yoga bras, and they are just incredible. And they are building deep relationships within the yoga community and have gained invaluable insights and understanding of the quality and function of yoga products. Because let's face it, you know, you just could get a cheap pair of leggings and they just go all funny. Whereas these products are absolutely beautiful. Really, really nice. So head over to zencoreyoga.com and in the checkout type in YogiGemma15 for a 15% discount. So go over zencoreyoga.com and it's Yogi Gemma 15. So I will see you on the other side. And I think as well, more and more people are listening to gut health, because maybe going vegan or dairy free or things like that. There's so many scientific studies now, not that I've read any.
Isn't it? Yeah. Totally. Here's a really interesting thing people can do. If they like cook some jacket potatoes, let's say, the day before, and then eat them the next day, a process goes off. I beg everyone to look this up, but process goes off in the potato that means that when you eat it the next day, it strips all the bad bacteria out of your gut.
Interesting.
So you can do that for a few days. Eat that in the morning. It's a bit weird, but it takes a lot of the bad bacteria out naturally, and it solves lots of problems really quickly for people.
Wow. It's only weird because of society, though. It's not weird.
No, absolutely not. It's natural, all of the natural things, you know. Yeah. And this is from neuroscience. This is neuroscience has recently found this stuff out. It's not any woo-woo crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. People knew so much in their past and stuff. All the healing plants and all of the other things that are available to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And actually, yeah, I think like with society, my kids certainly will, they will have cereal, but they know that it's not great for them. And then I was cooking pasta for Hugo's lunch the other day, and Brianna was like, can I have some pasta for breakfast? Mm. Like, yeah, well, pesto pasta. And then Hugo's like, but that's weird. No, it's not weird.
No.
I'd rather her go to school full up on pasta. Than cereal.
Yeah, exactly. People were conditioned into all of that sort of stuff. Yeah. You never know where all of these things come from. Like, you know, 3 square meals a day and stuff. Yeah. It's like the ploughman's lunch. Everybody thinks that's really old-fashioned stuff and everything. That was invented by the milk marketing board in the 1960s to sell more cheese.
And it's still good old ploughman's now.
Yeah.
It's true, definitely. I don't think a lot of people need to really understand their gut more, because like we say, or ask your gut or what's your gut instinct, but not actually realizing what that actually means. And I do it all the time, and now my kids are doing it as well, asking what it means, or asking your gut.
There you go. It's like they used to, there's been research. The Chinese were the first ones to come up with some actual research on this, because everybody's gone with this for some while. And essentially the gut now is regarded as the second brain. They found lots of neurons in the gut which mirrored the brain. So there you go. We've got some science backing behind that gut feeling and everything. It's just a different part of you. Thinking in a different way, because we get stuck in the thoughts of the brain so much, but mind is throughout the body, you know, because we're all one, even though René Descartes tried to create this crappy dualism and everything. I think therefore I am. So yeah, so my brain and body, mind and body are completely separate things and stuff.
Yeah.
They are, and then they're not, because we live in the dualism. I mean, mind can, there's been, you know, some interesting research that proves that mind can extend out of body and all of this sort.
Especially
in Russia, we did a lot of psychic research, and see, privately and small research things, there's been a lot of research into psi. The Americans, you know, the CIA ran a 19-year psi remote viewing program. That came out some few years ago, but that only got stopped because Congress found out about it. In fact, you'd be surprised what they invest in, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Russians did loads of good research on Psy, the Chinese too, because they didn't want to get left out, you know. But people believe in this stuff. So there's so much credibility to all of this stuff. But like, again, it's natural capacity that we have. I'll tell you a couple of quick stories about this stuff, right? So you can start to see it. Yeah. So, what's his name now? Yeah, hang on. Come back to me in a minute. Anyways, a Czechoslovakian house painter who in the World War II lost his job as a house... No, sorry, it was a chef, that's it. And he couldn't get a job after World War II. So he was working for his father-in-law painting, and he fell off a ladder, and he'd been a chef before. Fell off a ladder and banged his head, and he was in a coma for like 3 weeks. When he came to, he said everything looked really dirty and grey for a few days, and then he got Technicolor and stuff. But he also came to with incredible psychic abilities, which he'd never had previously after he banged his head. So this guy's name was Paul Herko, and he later moved to America, and he worked for the police. Well, he volunteered for the police, and because the American police use psychics quietly sometimes, and he solved and found the remnants of 500 murders. So he's the guy who solved the Boston Strangler murders in Boston in the 60s for them. Yeah. Yeah, but he'd not done anything like that. That was his natural, a different capacity brought out, yeah?
Yeah.
Because he banged his head, yeah? Roald Dahl, the greatest children's author in the world, yeah? He worked in the city before World War II. During World War II, he was an aviator and he had a plane crash, banged his head. When he came to, all he wanted to be was world's greatest children's writer. And so he became that.
Wow. And what is that? Is that like a different soul coming in or letting go of something? If you bang your head, you then let go of something.
Well, I think there's a few strands to that. I think one, we all have much greater natural humans, as I demonstrate with my energy stuff and all the other crap. We have great, much greater capacities than we are led to believe.
Yes.
Or we've lost. So we probably could, we're all psychic at some point, and everyone is to some degree and picks up on this and that, you know. But society bangs all of that sort of thing out for you. They want you to complain. It's complicit and compliant in everything. So you can see these natural abilities were there, yeah? And we've lost them somewhat. But I think also that the brain acts like a... much like a, let's say, a television, if you're using a dial, or a radio, if you're using an old dial, and you tune it to a particular station. Thusly, because there's so much information coming in, even though we only sit in the very middle of the spectrum of hearing and vision, we only see this tiny bit of this huge super spectrum.
Yeah.
But still, it's too much information coming in for us. It's like 6 billion bits of information coming in per second, and we reduce it down to about 12,000 to make it possible to move around. Yeah. Wow. So the brain, with its many functions, it acts like a reducing filter to filter out. Mostly, if people take psychedelics or meditate and stuff, they can tune it to different channels or open their mind, as they say, to more of this information.
Yeah.
And some people are... some of us have more access to more of the information.
So amazing. It's so interesting. And I wish more people would take it on board. But because of society, everyone's like, woo, you're weird.
yeah, totally. Because people have been socially conditioned to do that.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Completely.
We're not like, you know, and that's the thing. When you're a small child and stuff, you're free. You can have imaginary friends, or you can create, and you can dance, and you can run and skip and jump.
Yeah.
But all the magic gets beaten out of you by the time you're 6 or 7, so you have to go to school and sitting around a desk, getting trained to work.
Yeah.
You need to wear a uniform for 8 hours a day and be told what to do.
Yeah.
And what to do with life and where to go and where.
Yeah. School really frustrates me. That is the one thing. That's a massive conversation. But
Diana
was getting dressed the other day and she said, why do I have to wear my uniform? And I said, you know what? I don't know. It's all to do with later on in life where you cannot have your own business like mummy and daddy do. You have to go and work in a employed state. And Hugo was, he's 9. He was like, but why can't I? And I said, well, yeah, we certainly will push you. Look at what we do. We are self-employed and we're earning loads and it doesn't matter. It was like, she's 5. So it was kind of trying to figure out a way. And I would love them to wear their own clothes because then they can express themselves in their own way. But
yes. Yeah, it's become always some sort of bullshit stories about keeping everyone samey so everyone's not comparing and contrasting. But no, it's dehumanized. You make you more of a number. It's much like the military where they put you onto a uniform and stuff and shout at you and all that. It's all the same. Now, funnily enough, our scholastic system comes out of military academies and comes, that's where it came from. And it comes from training people to pay taxes, training people to work. That's how they developed it, and that's how it went.
Yeah.
We want to be free, but the society takes that away from most people.
Yep.
I mean, some people do need safety and surety in life. That's fine, but it could be a lot freer and a lot happier. I've been thinking for a while now that not enough people, I've been contemplating my quality of aliveness. And I've met most people once, you know, they hit middle age, especially even at 30, they're no longer alive. They're living a half life. They don't feel of and over bodies. But drifting around, being told what to do, where to go, what to do, then numbing themselves, and then going shopping to make themselves feel better about having to go to work, yeah. You know, but they're not alive. People are not alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should be. We should be lively and vibrant and living and enjoy if we can.
Yeah. And that would start probably at school, and then you just kind of carry on. Like you
stressed out
you then.
Totally. Yeah, if it's not, a friend of mine's just starting to do some stuff with an online academy and stuff, which is changing the way that they teach children in America. So that's really interesting, the way they're doing things.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they do so much for kids. If you brought them up right, set them up right, and did school a lot differently to help them to be creative and free, but also to teach them how to grow and learn for themselves. Then give them Tai Chi or meditation or something.
Yeah.
So we've got a solid anchor. And then just teach them some of the techniques I have for simply to lower your stress hormone levels instantly and stuff, to calm down on demand or to pick your energy when you want to. All of these give them tools for life.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'd be a much better world everyone would have.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, Hugo came back the other day from school, and they have a test, like a spelling test, every Monday. And I said, what did you get? So it's like out of 10, and he normally, or has been, getting 8 or 9. But this particular day, he got 4. And I looked at those, the 10 words, and there's no way that I would be able to spell them, like 40 years old, let alone him.
Yeah,
and
then I said,
you know what? Even if you got 10, it's still not good enough, because they will then give you other ones that are harder for you to then learn, and you will still never be good enough. And he's like, but I didn't get it. And I said, well, they just want to push all the time until what? You then get stressed. You're 9 years old. Need stress in your life.
No, it's fucking crazy, honestly. A few years ago, this is another problem of it all, because of the education system and the way we do it with the exams and stuff, and the huge amount of stress that exams put upon people. It's an unreal situation. That doesn't happen in a workplace, does it?
Yeah, no.
You're not like, 6 weeks of God, Jesus. It just doesn't happen.
No.
But they put these unreal expectations on kids because they need to get the exam results and all this bullshit. Rather than make sure we've got whole humans coming out of there. So a few years back, I like heard about how bad all this shit was with like kids doing the, like 15-year-old kids doing stress from exams. I was reading about it. I'm like, shit. So I created a program. It's really simple, but we teach kids how to deal with exam stress so they wouldn't suffer from it. Stuff they could do in the weeks beforehand and stuff they could do on the day.
Yeah.
I approached loads of schools. I got to teach it in one school. My son's school took it on board and it worked a treat. And all the kids I did to all the school and they loved it. Well, not all the school, but all the people who were taking the exams.
Yeah.
And loads and loads of benefits for them. Gave them a download of some videos they could watch just to rehearse it.
Yeah.
And then, like, nothing. Just no interest whatsoever. Half of them wouldn't even get back to me and talk to me.
Wow.
After I'd already done it at one school. I used to teach stuff at Gabe's first school, but not like that, but we got good results from that.
Yeah.
But this stuff, no one.
It's so wrong.
Even the kids are vomiting going into fucking exams.
Yeah.
And that could have literally changed. So imagine that. Think about how many kids are damaged for some few years just by those. All of the stress hormones being dumped into them constantly throughout that time.
Yeah.
And the fear of failure because they see that and not getting those exam results as the end.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's harder for us as parents, knowing what we know and what we do, to get them to do it and for them to forget about it because their teachers are saying, no, you need to do this. But as parents, we're saying, no, you need to meditate. You need to do Tai Chi. You need to do yoga.
Yeah.
You calm down. Yeah.
Yeah, God, yeah, that's what I did with my son Gabriel. He did incredibly well in everything. He got A** in his English literature. He's super confident, but he knew how to not be stressed and how to deal with things and how to meditate at a young age.
Yeah, yeah. It's so true. You know, it really is. Are you still doing your meditations?
Yeah, yeah, totally. You know, Tai Chi is moving meditation to some great degree. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly that sort of thing.
That's good.
You end up in that state. Yeah, but because it puts you in a a more balanced state generally. Yeah. So mentally and stuff, it's not, nor is it more emotionally. So it's more, everything's much more balanced than that. But you also find you're in that state more because we become the Tai Chi entity, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm in a pretty calm mental state all the time, you know. It's not like I have, you know, like a billion negative thoughts running around my head like I used to do, or even just any of that old epiphenomenon, you know. Thoughts are like, a lot of thoughts are just epiphenomena of a brain, honestly. They come in and they go. They're not us really thinking of something.
Yeah.
But people grasp and hold on to them. I think I used this analogy before. It's like leaves blowing across in front of you in autumn. It was beautiful. It was blow past and no effect on you whatsoever. You hold one in your hand. It takes all your attention.
Yeah.
Twinkliness, stubbiness, the light. And it's got you. Similar with thoughts. And that's like with negative thoughts and self-talk. People believe it because they hear it inside themselves.
Yeah. No, that's so true. Oh, thanks. It's been amazing. And two takeaway points from today's conversation.
Everyone should meditate more and kids should be taught to be free.
Yes. Love that. How's that? Definitely. Cool. And where can we find you? What's your website or your social media channel?
Okay. You can find me on, my website is Rich. You can email me at rich@richmorley.com. My website is coincidentally richmorley.com. You find me on Facebook under Rich Morley, where I'm only post stuff, and I'm trying to do some stuff on LinkedIn, but I'm not getting quite there yet.
Oh, I love LinkedIn.
Really? Perhaps I should do more. Everyone says I should do more of it, but I'm doing lots of really cool stuff in person now this year, so that's great. Moving back into that.
Yay. Yeah. Oh, thanks. Well, we'll definitely catch up soon again.
Yeah, see you again. Bye-bye.
Thank you so, so much for being here with me today. It means the world to me and my heart is so full of gratitude right now. If you are feeling pulled to, I would love you to leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever they're called, or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from, whichever platform you are on. Leave a review, even do a 5-star rating if you fancy it. And yes, go and follow me over on Instagram at gemma.haley.niece, or I'm on LinkedIn as Gemma Niece. So thank you so, so much for being here, and always reach out to me. I'm always have my DMs open, as again, Instagram at gemma.haley.niece or LinkedIn, or go on my website, which is www.gemmaniece.com. So thank you so much, and I will see you again next week.